Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Here in Psalms 46:10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Just declare that out loud. Be still and know that I am God. So God is saying there's a knowledge that comes of me when you are still. There's a knowledge that comes from me and about me when you are still. When man first sinned against God from the very beginning, when sin entered the world, the first recorded words of God after man had sinned was, "Adam, where art thou?" And when you read Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, where God would say, "Adam, where art thou?" because Adam didn't show up to meet with God in the cool of the day, the Bible says the reason that Adam wasn't there in Genesis 3, 8 was that he had hid himself from the presence of the Lord, that he had hid himself from the presence of the Lord. And so you read that and you say, you know, man, there was Adam as a result of his sin hiding from the presence of God. Not just not in the presence of God, hiding from the presence of God. When God would cry out, "Adam, where art thou?" Church, the end result of sin, the end result of sin is its separation, its ability to separate us from the presence of God. But yet there are many individuals, and I've been guilty, that we live our lives in such a way, in such a busyness, that we don't encounter the presence of God like we should, but we don't necessarily see that as sin. But yet it's the same end result. So when Adam was separated from the presence of God, God cries out and says, "Adam, where art thou?" And then remedied what had Adam separated from God, because Adam was ashamed, he was naked, he began to see himself as a result of what sin had brought on his life. And so God remedied that when he sacrificed a lamb in Genesis 3:21, and innocent blood was spilt. This was a picture of Jesus. And Adam and Eve were clothed with the skin of that sacrifice, God signifying that your sin is costly. But God paid the price so that Adam could be clothed, because it was his shame that had him separated from the presence of God. So whatever it is that's in your life that would have you out of fellowship with God, out of enjoying the benefits of God's presence, you have to see that thing as sin. And you say, well, you know, what does a life that's in the presence of God look like? Well, what does a life in any relationship, any healthy relationship look like? How healthy could your marriage be if you didn't make time to spend with your spouse? Well, how healthy is your relationship with God when you make no time for prayer, or you make no time for his word, or you make no time for worship, or you make no time to be in the congregation of believers? Because from the very beginning of time, God has called his people to congregate in his presence and to worship him. And there is something about the corporate anointing that shows up when we gather together in his name. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So God has called us to assemble, but so many are so busy that they can't even make the assembly. They're not making any time for prayer or his word. And I'm telling you, when that happens, and we're so busy that we don't have time for the presence of God, like a domino effect, the results of that are going to begin to show up in our life. Let's talk about that. If you would come back with me to Psalms, the 23rd division. Now, let me say this real quick before we read from the 23rd Psalm. The health of your life, like right now in your mind, if you would just establish, am I healthy? Is my life, do I like my life? Am I satisfied with my life? Am I happy with my life? Because, you know, we go through these seasons where we love our lives, and then we go through some of them days where we don't really like our life that well. Anybody tell the truth in the Lord's house on a Sunday? But most of the time, what's dictating liking the day, or liking our life, or feeling bad about our life, or feeling bad about a day, most of the time what dictates that is our relationships. So if your marriage is healthy and it's hitting on every cylinder and all is well at home and your marriage and family, then man, I'm on the top of the world. But then you let something happen in that relationship where it's disturbed. Now all of a sudden you're oppressed, depressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in less, trying to pass yet another test. Why? Because we're relational people. And being that we're relational people, you can't have a healthy life when you have unhealthy relationship. And so God has called us to have a relationship with Him that affects every other relationship. You've heard me say it countless times that the cross of Christ points both vertically and horizontally, and a life that's truly been reconciled and restored by God, you're going to see that in the way those people relate to each other. You can't say that you love God and then you hate man in the same mouth. The Bible says that's not possible. How can you love God whom you have not seen, but yet hate man whom you have seen that's been made in His image? So my relationship with God affects the way I relate to other people. Now, if I'm not making time to spend with God, to have time in worship, time in prayer, time in His Word, time to meditate on Him, time for service, time to be in the church, in the assembly, hearing His Word. If I'm not disciplining myself to be still, to develop my relationship with God, it's going to begin to show up in other areas of my life. Now, let me show what I'm talking about here in the 23rd Psalm. If you're there, say amen. We'll start in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a good word right there, amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So God will change your wants, or he'll meet the desires of your heart. But the Lord is my shepherd. I don't live in want because I'm taken care of. I'm cared for. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not in want because He takes care of me. Watch this, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Read that out loud. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And that doesn't mean that He breaks your legs because you wouldn't stay still, or give you the flu for 7 days and say, oh, pastor, you know the Lord will make you lie down. No. Here, the shepherd David is speaking in relationship to sheep. And sheep are skittish creatures, and it's hard to get them to lie down. And in order to get a sheep to lie down, there can't be fear and there can't be friction in the fold. So to make the sheep lie down, you've got to remove what would have the sheep afraid, and you've got to resolve any friction that might be in that fold. Otherwise, that sheep's not going to lie down. So when He says He maketh me to lie down, He's saying that He's resolving. He is resolving whatever it might be that's preventing you from lying down. For you may be able to lie down, but you're not sleeping. The Lord is saying that I'm going to resolve what it was that's had you up. Psalm 138 and 8, God says, I will perfect that thing that concerns you. Psalm 138 and 8, good verse to claim. I will perfect that thing that concerns you. So the shepherd Jesus is looking into your life and saying, hey, whatever it is that has you anxious, whatever it is that has you busy, whatever it is that has you preventing from resting and preventing from sleeping, I'm going to make you lie down. I'm going to remove, I'm going to resolve that thing that has you disturbed, just like He did for the disciples when they were in that ship going to the other side, and that big turbulent wind showed up in that storm, and they were panicking and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And He got up off His pillow and looked at the wind and said, peace, be still. And He settled and satisfied their fears so that they could rest. God will look into your life and speak that same word over your situation. Hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down. And look where I'm lying down, in green pastures. I'm lying down where there's plenty, where there is an abundance, where there is health. I'm lying down in green pastures. I don't have to worry about anything. Now, notice the next statement. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Read that one out loud. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The waters are still. There's a calmness. There's a rest. They're not fast moving, not fast paced. There's a settling that God calls us into, a stillness of His Spirit, a stillness of His voice. Now watch this. In verse 2, he's making me to lie down in green pastures, resolving my fears and the frictions that might be in my life. He's leading me beside still waters, so he's settling the pace of my life. There's some calm. Now look what comes as a result of that in verse number 3. Read the first statement. He restoreth my soul. Read it again. He restoreth my soul. So notice that my soul now is being restored. Why? Because I'm able to lie down. Because I'm drinking from still waters. In this rest, I'm finding restoration for my soul. And I wonder how many people today are not healthy in their soul, not healthy in their mind, not healthy in their emotions. And the reason being is that you're too busy. And even when you're not busy, you're busy. Even when you're not busy, you're busy on the phone. You make yourself busy about things you don't even need to be busy about. And God is saying here that in your lying down and in your drinking of the still waters, he says, that's where I'm going to restore your soul. But not only am I going to have my soul, my mind, and my emotions restored. You see this word restored? Look at the first four letters in the word restored there. Rest. You can't even spell restored without rest. God wants to give us a rest in order to restore us mentally, physically, spiritually. Watch this. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Read that part out loud. So not only in my lying down and being still is my soul being restored, but notice now he's starting to lead me. I'm getting some guidance. I'm getting some clarity. I'm getting some direction. Now I know the right decision to make. Now I know what to do because I was still long enough to hear from God. Impatience is the enemy to excellence. We get impatient about so many things. We want something to happen, and we want it to happen now. We live in an impatient society. We've gotten programmed that we should get an immediate response to everything we do. We send out a text. We wait for the bubble to pop up to know that the one we text is responding, and if they're not, we're wondering, why aren't you responding to my text? We want this immediate gratification with everything we do because that's society right now. But it's not realistic. And when you take that digital world that's on your phone and then you apply it to real life time, it's not realistic, and it is interrupting our relationship with God and with people. And so watch this. He says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Are you settling yourself long enough to be restored and to get direction on what God wants you to do? God's not called us to be a bunch of people that react to the moment, but rather rest, pray, seek God, and then respond. How many of you have said or done something you wish you would not have said or done, and had you actually thought about it, you wouldn't have said it or did it? Come on, somebody. Amen. So look at this. I'm finding direction. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for his glory's sake that I'm healthy. But notice, I'm getting that direction because I've been made to lie down and I'm drinking from still waters. Now, watch verse 4. Watch verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, when you get to verse 4, it's like, okay, why did you have to stick that in there? I'd much rather go back to the green pasture and drink from the still waters. How come we got to go to a valley where there's the shadow of death? But what I really believe God is saying here is that, listen, you're going to need days of rest. You're going to need green pastures because there are dark valleys ahead. And the one is going to prepare you for the other. And if you go into a valley of the shadow of death, and you did not just come out of a green pasture, then that valley might have more power over you because you never got restored before you went into it. Listen, there are some things you need at church on Sunday that's going to get you ready for the hell you're going to face on Monday. Huh. I'm just being real with you. And when we miss that time with God, it'd be like waking up and you have no time in prayer, you have no time in His Word, and then you're not able to handle what comes upon you in that day. Whereas if you'd have had time with God at the beginning of the day, you might have handled what came upon you later in the day. And I think that with our week, it's the same way. If you could spend some time in His house and in time hearing the Word of God and it be in worship and be around the people of God on Sunday, then that might equip you for what you're going to face come Monday. And it's really just a picture of life that you have to have these moments of rest and restoration where your tank gets filled and your faith gets fueled to prepare you for what you're getting ready to walk into. But for many people, it's not till they get in the shadow of death that they pray. Y'all got quiet on that one. Y'all were clapping a while ago, patty cake, bakers, man. Now, no, there wasn't no patty cake on that one. It's like we had to get in trouble before we prayed. We had to get in, you know, a big trial, and then, Lord, where are you? And God was saying, I've been here calling you into my presence. I wanted to equip you for what was coming in your life, but you were too busy. You were too busy. See, God wants to always equip you with the truth before the enemy gives you a lie. And so notice here, he says in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, look at the psalmist's response to the shadow of death in this valley, this dark valley. Notice what he said about that valley and the shadow of death. Notice what he said. He said, I will fear no evil. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of this evil. Why? Read the rest. For thou art with me. For thou art with me. But where did he get the confidence and the assurance that God was with him? He got that confidence and that assurance when he was back at the pasture, in the green pasture, when the shepherd resolved his fears and resolved his frictions and made him lie down and led him to still waters. He got to know the shepherd in that stillness. That way, when it got busy, he knew the voice of that shepherd. He knew the presence of his shepherd and knew that, hey, the same God that kept me yesterday and that was with me and revealed himself to me is with me today in this that I face. Listen, this is not only true for our relationship with God. This is true for our relationship with each other. See, you know, my wife and I, we have a conviction that every week we're going to have a date night. A lot of folk date and marry. We married to date. Come on, somebody. And when you have that day or that night or that date night or you do a trip and you get away, when you have that moment where you're focused on each other and you're able to communicate and to share what's on your heart and to talk about the family and the kids and your future and just have fun, then now your assurance, at least for me, and I feel Christian the same way, now my security in that relationship is built up. Now, later in the week, when things are busier and there may not be that time, I can refer back to the green pasture. Come on, somebody. I can refer back to the still waters. And things may be real busy today or the next day, and we don't have that time. If you don't have that green pasture moment, that still water moment to look back to, then the enemy begins to make you insecure in the busyness of that moment. That you're not loved, that there's no support, that they're really not present, that their mind really is somewhere else. See, I need the green pasture before I go into the valley. You look at people and how they respond to trial, and you say, man, they responded to that trial, that tragedy so well, so amazing. I guarantee you it's not because they got that serenity in the midst of that trial. It's because they had it before they went in. When my life is in tune with the Lord and I'm in tune with Him, then I'm ready for what I enter into. And we need to have relationship with God that are built up and strengthened because we're making time to get along with Him. But church, listen to me. It's got to be the same with our relationships with each other. He says, I will fear no evil. Read with me. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, I already know you're with me. You're with me, so I can handle this. I'm not looking for you in the trial. I was with you before I entered into it. Hallelujah. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God wants you to be so confident and so at rest in his presence that you're able to sit at the table even in the presence of your enemies. God says, you know what you need? Because you have enemies, you need a table. What's the table? In the Old Testament, it was in the tabernacle, rather, it was called the table of his presence. The table of his presence. God gave the children of Israel instructions to build a table. It was called the table of his presence, and it was overlaid with gold. It had spoons and forks and bowls and decorations. It was elaborate. And God said, this table is a picture of my presence, that I am with you. And that's what any table should represent: presence and fellowship, not only with God, but with each other. And you got families this day and age that have forgotten the power of the table. Amen. And if you go out to a table today, I just give you this challenge. If you go out to eat somewhere today at a table, look around the restaurant, and I'm gonna tell you what you see at that table, this right here. Everybody got a phone. And people aren't fellowship, and they're all up in the phone like this right here. And they got the ones that are important in their life right across on the other side of that table. You ought to make it a policy when your family gathers at the table, you put your phones down. Come over with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 30. Isaiah chapter number 30. Does anybody need this message? I know I do. The voice of the taskmaster is real, and if we're not careful, the enemy will give us a to-do list that we will never get to the bottom of. And we're racing and trying to get everything done, and it's just not possible, and we're missing everything that actually matters. There has to be a day of rest. There has to be some Selah in our life. That's why God gave us the Sabbath day in the first place, is he knew we needed a day of rest. Amen. And he didn't put that there as a burden. He put that there as a blessing. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 2, verse 27, he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He said, a day of rest was my gift to you. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they had been slaves for 400 years, and they didn't know what it was like to have a day off. They didn't know what it was like to be able to live without the burden of the voice of the taskmaster. And when God brought them out in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he gave Moses a commandment. He said, you tell the children of Israel that the Sabbath day is a holy day, and on that day they do no labor. That was unheard of. They worked 7 days a week. And so for them to not work, God had to make it a commandment. He had to command that they not work 1 day a week. And so when he gave them that commandment, he said, look, he said, now I'm giving you bread, and I'm pouring out bread from heaven, and I'm going to pour that bread out 6 days a week. But on the seventh, don't you go gather no bread. And so what he did was, on the sixth day, he gave them twice as much bread, enough to carry them over for the next day. And any other day they try to get twice as much, it would spoil on them. But God said, I've got that day taken care of. Watch what God was saying. This is so beautiful. I want you to hear this. He was saying, I'll cover your 7 day needs in 6 days. I'll cover your 7 day needs in 6 days, because I don't want you anxious on the seventh day. So that means if you're anxious 7 days a week, one of those days, we know that didn't come from God. Then who did it come from? The taskmaster. What I'm trying to get you to see is that you can invest full energy 6 days a week and get the same results as someone that's going full steam ahead 7 days a week. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, I'm telling you what the Word says. And I believe it's been proven statistically. And you can study restaurants like Chick-fil-A, who are actually doing better than McDonald's, and they're off on Sunday. There's just a spiritual principle to it. Brookshire's put out an article years ago after they started opening 7 days and showed it on paper that they did better actually close 1 day a week. Isn't that a something? Now, I know you say, Pastor, please don't preach that. I need them open. The point I'm trying to make is, is that you're going to be more effective and more efficient if you gave yourself a day versus if you never did, because it is a spiritual principle that you're going to be restored after that you have rested. It'd be no different than you saying, I'm going to work around the clock 24 hours a day, and I'm never going to sleep. Well, within a few days, we're going to see the result of that. Oh, we're going to look at you and wonder what you've been doing. But the same is true when you never take time throughout the week, when you don't give the Lord a day, when there's no pause, when there's no stillness in your life, it begins to show up. You're short-fused, you're short-tempered, you can't get along with folk, you're snappy, irritable, abrasive, y'all are quiet. Isaiah 30. Watch this in Isaiah 30. Let's go down, if you would, to verse number 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 15. Now watch this. This is a powerful verse. Watch this. Everybody there? Amen. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Now read the rest with me. In returning and rest shall you be saved. Stop right there. Oh, that's good. Let's read that part again. In returning and rest shall you be saved. He said, if you want to see salvation in your life, you need to return to me and rest in me. He's saying there's a salvation that comes when you return and when you rest in me.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.